We're back with Channel 9 Live. You know what? Of all the sessions that you could pick up to do on Channel 9 Live, I think I've probably got one of the most interesting and one of the most requested sessions. I've been watching the Twitter and I've been seeing everybody retweeting this session, wanting to ask questions to Wally. Please get some questions in so that we can ask them. Ask them on the live chat there on the feed, and also drop them over to @CH9 on Twitter. I am joined by Wally Mead. Wally, nice to see you.
You too, Simon. Pleasure to be here.
You, you're not with Microsoft anymore. You've moved on.
I have. So at the beginning of this month, being May, I left Microsoft and went to work for Cyrus Corporation. So,
and what's life like over at Cyrus Corporation? What does Cyrus do for those folks that might be out there that have no idea about Cyrus?
So Cyrus is a system center software and services company. So they develop a lot of add-on applications to help fill some of the gaps of system center products, primarily focused on Service Manager, which obviously is not my expertise. They do have one configuration manager add-on for asset management, and I'm there to help them develop more configuration manager expertise to help fill some of the gaps there.
Cool. So you're there to help them grow their ConfigMan business, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
So I know those guys out there really want to know the answer to this question. Why did you leave Microsoft? What was the reasoning?
Well, it wasn't a single reason. I had 22 fantastic years at Microsoft, but the time had just come to move on. Cyrus is very big into community, which is what I love doing, user groups and tech ed presentations, the former MMS, doing my hands-on labs, events, training. And Cyrus is very committed to the community, so it gets me a little more community activity than I had at Microsoft. Plus, I get to get back in the classroom. So when I started at Microsoft 22 years ago...
You were in Microsoft U, right?
I was in Microsoft University, yeah. Yes. So at those days, we started developing and training, delivering training courses, and that's where I first got into the systems management area with SMS 1.0.
Yeah, we were just talking back off stage there a little bit, and one of my first things I did was playing around with SMS installer and building out some really complex kind of installation packages that actually were a little bit more like apps than and programs rather than anything else. And
yeah.
the space has really changed over the course of, I guess, like the last 20 years, really, since you've been at Microsoft.
Yeah, I started working with the code name for SMS 1.0 was Hermes. Mm-hmm. And that was January 4th, 1994.
Yep.
I came back from Christmas vacation and was told by my manager that I was going to help start with PSS, product support, working on a training course for this product called Hermes. And I said, what's that? And it wound up being SMS 1.0. So
wow.
That was in 1994, very early. So it's been 20 years of SMS and Configuration Manager now.
That's pretty incredible too.
Yeah.
To have been able to get in at the base level of a product which has grown up so much and has changed into, well, this thing that can now manage on-prem stuff. It can manage mobile devices in your pocket. If you had to pick the single most exciting thing about ConfigMan, if you can call anything about ConfigMan actually exciting, what would you say is that one thing? Where should people spend their time investing in ConfigMan?
Yeah, it's hard because every release we've come out with new features, new capabilities to help out our IT admins and the end users to make the environment safer, more reliable, less costly for them. But probably the one thing that I really enjoyed when we went to ConfigMan 2012 was the client health feature.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to TAP customers and customers, one of their biggest problems they had over the years was managing those dead clients. Those clients that for whatever reason would not communicate with Configuration Manager or SMS prior anymore, and they'd have to spend hours a week to go out there and find those troubled computers, fix them, which almost always it was WMI,
yep.
A breakage.
Mm-hmm.
So in ConfigMan 2012, Microsoft introduced the client health feature, and that would help automatically scan and remediate clients to fix those problems. So it saved our IT admins a ton of effort on their own part, having to identify and resolve those issues, so that now management could come up to the IT admin and say, how long is it going to take me to get this Microsoft patch out? And they could say, okay, I can hit 95% of my clients now within a day, where before it was 85%. So their SLAs dramatically increased by the client health feature.
Awesome.
So that's the one I really like and people get a lot of benefit out of. Saves them a ton of time. And there's tons of other features, as you mentioned, mobile devices now.
Yeah.
So mobile devices are just exploding in the marketplace. And everybody, as you younger guys out there, you're used to having these devices in your hands. Yeah. Me older guys, it's new stuff for us, but you can't live without having one or two devices around. So now that Microsoft can manage those with Configuration Manager, that really helps extend the reach of your capabilities of interacting with your corporate network, and then IT to be able to manage those devices and provide the services that you need.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I find completely amazing about the whole kind of explosion of devices. I was, I can't remember where I was. I was at some conference or something a week or so ago, talking to a guy. He's had a daughter. She's of that kind of age where she needs to be able to call and be able to make kind of make phone calls, that kind of thing. Call her dad when he's at work. And he was having a conversation with her, which basically went along the lines of, this is how you use a desk phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it was the first time she'd actually ever seen a physical phone.
Yep.
So he had to literally say, you pick the handset up and you dial the numbers and you don't press a send button. And she'd never seen that before. And I think as we start to move forward, we're going to see more and more of these devices that actually, like, people have never, we've never kind of had to experience a world where we haven't had those kind of older devices that we've had to manage as well. And I think we'll start to slowly see them move down, but for a very, very long time, all of those skills that you've got in managing your existing on-prem desktop environment, completely valid. All of those skills that you're going to build up around managing not only mobile devices, but embedded devices as well. Those are going to be incredibly important going forward. And I think it's really kind of interesting that we have that single pane of glass across the whole environment that lets you see all the way from desktop to mobile to embedded, all in one kind of place.
Plus Macs, Linux, Unix.
Absolutely.
So Microsoft is expanding their reach beyond just the traditional Windows platforms that we've had for 20 years, and now going to the Mac, the Linux, Unix, now the mobile devices, the Windows embedded, Androids, iOS. So a lot of reach now in the Configuration Manager product, because there are very few shops that are just pure Microsoft. Everybody's got some third-party operating system out there, and Configuration Manager can now manage the vast majority of those and give you great capabilities to allow that central management.
Yeah. While we're talking to Wally here, please get some questions in. Get them into the Channel 9 Twitter. Get them in through the chat so that we can put those questions I can put those questions direct to Wally while we're sat here.
One thing you had mentioned, the guy talking about his daughter dialing a phone.
Yeah.
My kids had never heard of a party line.
Oh,
I don't know if you have either, but
when
I grew up in Midwest, we had a party line. So before we could make a phone call, we had to pick it up, listen if
somebody else was
neighbor was on the line or not. Ooh. And kids, my kids can't understand that concept.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've never had a party line outside of my house shared with my neighbors. Definitely had a party line inside of the house shared with my mom and dad. That wasn't fun.
Shared with neighbors.
Definitely, it's not the kind of thing you want to get out there. Moving back to Config Man, there's lots of people out there at the moment trying to tackle the upgrades from moving from 2007 up to 2012 R2. Any particular kind of generalized guidance that's good for them?
Yeah. So when I do a lot of traveling for conferences and user groups, and when I poll the audience about what versions of software they have, it's generally between 40 and 50% that are still on Config Man 2007. Mm-hmm. And I asked them why, and the primary reason was we got to work through our XP migration.
Yeah.
We got to get it off Windows XP.
Yeah.
Of course, now everybody should be off Windows XP.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. If not, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But now that those migrations are done for their core operating systems, now they can really start tackling the migration of Configuration Manager. Because we understand it was a complex process to get through both that as well as the Configuration Manager upgrade into Windows. So the cool thing is that with Config Man 2012, we built in the migration tool to allow you to migrate your objects, your clients, and everything from your old platform to the new platform. Prior releases, when you went from SMS 2003 to Config Man 2007, you were on your own.
Yeah.
We, from the product group, did not provide anything for you. And now that's built into the product. So it's very, very simple. You just have to map out your two hierarchies. You already have the one. Hopefully you scale down your new hierarchy, and maybe not even have a hierarchy now, 2012, and just set up that relationship between the two. You do a data gathering. We find all the objects in your old infrastructure that can be migrated over. You pick and choose what you want. We bring it over. You get rid of the garbage, the stuff that was there for years that you haven't touched and just haven't cleaned up. So it allows you to cherry pick the objects that you want, bring them over to the new environment, and start clean with that.
Oh, awesome.
So very, very cool. Once you're there, then you got Service Pack 1, mm-hmm. you got R2, and you can migrate from 2007 to either RTM or Service Pack 1 or R2. Certainly, if you're standing up a brand new environment, you'd stand up R2.
Yeah,
there's not and a migrate straight there. If you are at an SP1 level, then you can do an in-place upgrade from SP1 to R2. No change of anything other than the Windows 80K version has to change. But in that, all your server infrastructure is all exactly the same. And now, a month or so ago, Cumulative Update 1 was released for ConfigMan 2012 R2. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing the individual hot fixes, patches, they're now doing cumulative updates roughly on a quarterly basis. And that just came out for ConfigMan 2012. So an easy, again, in-place upgrade to apply CU1 on top of your R2 infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that as an engineering kind of idea, we're trying to make it a lot easier to do an in-place upgrade.
Yes.
Rather than having to rip and replace. And that's not just about doing an in-place upgrade on the server side. That's also about being able to move your client side up in a more staged manner as well.
Yeah, and the nice thing is that we generally maintain backwards compatibility with clients. So if as you migrate from 2007 to 2012, you don't have to immediately get all your clients migrated over. You'll want to take advantage of the client health feature, for example.
Yeah.
So you'll want to get them migrated over, but you don't have to get them all overnight or over a weekend. So you can take your time. If you're at SP1, you upgrade to R2, again, we support the down-level compatibility with the SP1 clients talking to the R2 site. So it gives you that time effort to pick and choose when you want to get your clients upgraded. But yeah, the server side is the harder, but trying to do the in-place upgrades now. It was just too big of a change between ConfigMan 2012 to ConfigMan 2012 to allow the in-place upgrade.
Yeah.
With the database changes we made, the replications changes and everything, so it had to be a side-by-side migration or the rip and replace, which is painful.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. I want to get to a couple of these questions that we've had come in from the audience. The first one, I like the idea here. Is Configuration Manager doomed in the light of PowerShell desired state configuration? I'd say no.
No,
probably the right
not.
Answer to that.
There's a whole lot more that Configuration Manager does outside of just desired state configuration. And even Configuration Manager has, in the R2 release, it's 541, I think, commandlets for PowerShell.
Yeah.
So you can script everything that you want to and never touch the console if you don't need to. But no, certainly not doomed in the light of just because of what PowerShell can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
People said that in the year 2000 when Windows 2000 came out with Active Directory and IntelliMir. That was the death of SMS.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's been 14 years and the product has only grown and increased in capabilities. So no, and I would not think that at all.
I think it's kind of interesting as well that we've got capabilities like configuration items inside of ConfigMan, and those are actually becoming ever more important. When we look at an MDM environment, the ability to use configuration items is basically how you manage an MDM client by pushing those out to Windows Intune, and then Intune goes off and does the rest for you. So it's kind of hard to see where that would be going if it wasn't for good things.
Right, right.
Another question here from Jeff Truman. What is your favorite new feature of SCCM and Windows Intune that's been recently released?
So since the product came out in late last year, beginning of this year, they've added three enhancements they call extensions for Windows Intune. Mm-hmm. So capabilities in the cloud service that gets brought down on-premise to the environment. So one was for iOS 7. Features. Mm-hmm. One was for email profiles, so the ability of pushing out email profiles out to your mobile devices and have them configured appropriately on your clients. And the most recent one was support for Windows Phone 8.1.
And Samsung Knox.
And Samsung Knox, yes. Yeah. So those have been released, and obviously, from a Microsoft perspective, support for Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, greatly enhances the capabilities of managing those mobile devices for Microsoft. So that's a feature that people are really excited about because Windows Phone 8.1 gives you great capabilities, kind of puts the Windows mobile device on par with the iOS and Android devices as far as management capabilities through Config Manager and Windows Intune. So that's probably the one that's most popular. The email profiles was very, very important for a lot of customers as well.
Yeah, I have to say, I think it's probably one of my single favorite features of what we have done with Intune and ConfigMan. The fact that you can now go into a place where you can build an MDM solution, that actually gives some value back to the user from doing enrollment, because we can deliver things like Wi-Fi profiles, VPN profiles, right. Email, which actually could be a little bit complicated for users to go in and set up themselves.
Right.
Now they just need their email address, their password, and it will get set up for them. Mm-hmm. So I really love that as, a, yeah. as an overall feature. That
and one of the cool things with the new architecture and those extensions is you don't have to apply any service pack or hotfix to Config Manager.
Yeah.
It's just a XML profile that comes down. You install it locally, restart your console, and bingo, you got the new capabilities in the console.
Yeah.
Take advantage of what's in the server side, the cloud side.
It's a fabulous way of being able to deliver those capabilities through extensions. Keep the questions coming in. If there's any more, we've got a little bit of time left to go here. So I guess what I'm kind of thinking is if you had the ability to build anything at all that you wanted to for ConfigMan and for Windows Intune, not that this is anything to do with actual engineering, this is blue sky thinking, what would be the thing that you'd go and build?
Oh, wow.
And also not overwriting anything that you're doing for your new company.
Yeah. So that's a great question. Wow. Trying to think back of all those things that I've gone to all these user groups and people have asked me, hey, can you do this? And we can't do that yet. There's a lot of things that I know that the configuration manager or enterprise client management team is working on for the future they can't comment on. Even though I no longer work for Microsoft, still can't comment on it.
Yeah, best answer.
But there's a lot of new things coming out that is going to just further enhance that capability of managing those mobile devices.
I think if I'd have asked myself that question, I would have probably answered that with having not seen a keynote until this morning and not knowing that was coming. I think I would have actually said to myself, you know what we really need? We really need to be able to do application management better. We need to be able to
mobile
do
devices,
containerized management of mobile devices, because that really is where the future of being able to configure things through ConfigMan and Intune is. And I think that was a kind of a big ask from the folks.
Yeah, as people bring in their own devices, they want to have their personal data, personal apps on their device, as well as their corporate supplied information and apps there, and keep them separate. So that when you do a selective wipe, you're guaranteed you're only getting your corporate stuff and not the personal stuff, which you can do today, but just making it easier for management of those applications. Another thing that it's a very common request that would help out a lot of people is bulk enrollment. So the ability of you as IT admin enrolling the phone on behalf of the user.
Yeah.
If it's a BYOD scenario, that doesn't make as much sense. But I know a lot of corporations, they actually purchase the mobile device on behalf of the user, so it's a corporate-owned device. So there, it doesn't make as much sense to have the end user go and enroll it and allow the end user to unenroll that device when it's corporate-owned and corporate wants it to be there. Another very common request is if a device is not enrolled, don't let them get email on the phone. So make sure, guarantee that the device is enrolled and it stays enrolled, otherwise they lose access to some corporate stuff they want. So those are all very, very common requests that would be great if they were there in the product to help further proliferate the management of those mobile devices.
And I know that there's lots of guys that are here as well from MMS who are probably wondering, what are you doing inside of your ILLs?
So the instructor-led labs, So TechEd has traditionally not done a lot for instructor-led labs. It's been a lot of self-paced labs. And then every so often they'll have an instructor-led lab or not. I've got 12 this year. There are actually seven unique labs. Five of them are repeated because of demand. So I'm doing Introduction to ConfigMan 2012, R2. So for those that are new to the product, they can just get a run through of what the console does, how you operate the console, some of the key features, so that when they go to the other labs, whether they're self-paced or instructor-led, they'll have some familiarity with the product, so it'll make more sense to them. Mm-hmm. Basic software distribution. So if you're just coming from 2007, the package and programs model, how does that work in ConfigMan 2012? How does it differentiate from applications? So we're running through that. Endpoint protection. So how can you use the built-in endpoint protection product from Configuration Manager to secure your devices for anti-malware, antivirus? Software update management, upgrading from ConfigMan 2012 SP1 to ConfigMan 2012 R2. Migration is a hands-on lab I have. So migrating from a 2007 environment to 2012. And there's one more in there. OS deployment. So how do I deploy Windows 8.1 using Configuration Manager? Mm-hmm. And even if you're not doing 8.1 yet, The core process is the same, whether it's Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1. So it's deploying Windows to a bare metal system in Configuration Manager.
Yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of people get really kind of nervous about, is how do we do Windows deployment? And I think the real kind of sea change came with XP. So when we moved off from the XP model to the Vista model, and really the Windows 7 model, right, when people started to embrace that, that's where the big change was. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of incremental, moving from 7 to 8 to 8.1 to 8.1 update. It's kind of a very easy thing to do, as long as you actually understand the differences in the way that you do images, package distribution, installation images, and that kind of stuff. As long as you've got those basics, you can take them from Windows 8.1 and apply them to Windows 7. Real simple. Yep.
The core process for OSD is the same regardless of the operating system.
Yeah.
So just a couple little tweaks here and there for a Windows 7, even Windows XP, up through Windows 8.1. So we'll cover that in that instructor-led lab. And it's also, I'm pretty sure that's one of the self-paced labs.
Yeah, I think so. There's another question came in that was related to DSC. It zipped off the screen really quickly, but I really wanted to make sure that we got it asked. Do you think we'll ever take some DSC capability into ConfigMan? Do you think that's something that would be a useful thing to have in there? I'm not overly sure that that's that's the right approach. I guess people are thinking it's built on WMF. There might be some capabilities in there. I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Not being in the product group anymore, I can't say where they're going to go on things from there. But everybody's got their ideas of what they think should be done in the product and capabilities. The product group always looks at the market trends, where the market is going as to technologies, and tries to make sure that we're ready to adopt those and interface with those as it's going forward. I keep saying we, and I'm not we anymore.
It's kind of hard. It takes a long time to get out of that. When I moved to Microsoft, I kept referring to my former employer as we for quite a long time, which was quite embarrassing, because they were a large financial institution, and any time that I'd go into a bank, it was very difficult, very, very difficult. One more thing that comes to mind is, you do loads of user groups. Mm-hmm. I'm out there talking to loads of folks as well. One of the consistent things that I get back is, how can I affect Microsoft's products? How can I get those changes made? Any advice for folks on being able to actually do that?
Yeah, the great thing to do is connect.microsoft.com.
Yeah.
So go to connect.microsoft.com, register for the Configuration Manager program, as they call it on Connect. And then once you're there, you'll be able to click the feedback button and feedback on a current product. And you can either do a suggestion, which is a feedback, it's a wish list, or there's a code defect, a bug. So you can file those. Anything filed through connect.microsoft.com gets triaged by the product group. So they'll look at those and determine if it's valid. If so, what's the market case for it? When do they think they might be able to get it in? What's the cost going to be involved with it as far as dev hours and test hours and so on? And then they just triage that to figure out when it could be implemented, if it can, and that goes into the bucket of things to look at for the future. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, a bug or whether it's a product suggestion, connect.microsoft.com. You can also go to CSS. So if you have a CSS environment, a TAM or support agreement, PFEs, you can always file things to them, and they can file DCRs or bugs directly with the product group. So that's the best way. Certainly when I was out at user groups, and I'm sure you do the same thing, you collect feedback back and you bring it back to the product group and supply it. And I would do the same thing. I just go directly to our database and file the DCR or the bug, and then it gets triaged from there.
Yeah.
That's the best way. Everything does get looked at. It's not a black hole where things go to die. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're going to get implemented, but it does get triaged. The one thing I would say is, when you do file things, make sure to provide business justification.
Yeah.
Why is this a pain for me?
Why is it useful? Yeah.
What is my workaround? How costly is that workaround? So the more the product group sees the pain involved for you by the product not implementing that feature, the higher it raises in the priority scale.
Yeah.
And then when you file things, you can make them public. If you make them public, you can then let your peers know to vote it up. Say, yes, I think that's valid as well. And then more votes they get, the higher it raises in the priority scale.
Yeah, I think that's the really important thing there. Number one, it is get the details into Connect with tons of business justification behind it. Number two, network with people.
Yes.
Talk to people. Go out there. Talk to the Microsofties that you meet. Talk to the other people inside of the community. Talk to the community leaders. Really try and get them to listen to your opinions. Network. Come to events like TechEd. That's half the fun.
And when you do go to user groups, don't be silent. Make sure provide feedback, because it's the worst thing there when it's a monologue. And I hate that. I want that interaction. So that's where you provide the feedback, and that's really where we hear it. We take notes, and we get the stuff back. If you don't say anything, we don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wally, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Simon. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for all of your years
and you have a great week
at Microsoft. Thank you very much. We're going to be dropping out to a video, and we'll be right back.